Hey, what's up? Santi here. Welcome to the podcast. To those of you listening to this, there's a video version. To those of you looking at me, there's a podcast version, respective links on the description. And today I want to talk a bit about perhaps clothes, how we portray ourselves, because for those watching the video, you'll see that I'm dressed a bit fancier than usual, right? And this has been a bit of a change in my life that I made very recently. And I want to relate that to concepts of maturity, concepts of philosophical perception of how we portray ourselves in the world, what matters, what doesn't matter, and, you know, to quote the Stoics, what is an indifference, or perhaps what is a preferred indifference versus a dispreferred indifference. Those topics we're going to tackle right now, so yeah, get comfy, or whatever you're doing, keep doing that, and yeah, hope you enjoy this. For those of you new to the show, this is going to be heavily focused around philosophy, so yeah, you've been warned. And to those of you coming back, thank you as per usual for listening to the podcast. Really appreciate it. And yeah, definitely trying these more like visual videos where at least I record myself talking, and that way you can also comment on YouTube if that's something that you're into, so that you can offer new ideas for future episodes or ask any questions, and hopefully we can guide the podcast from there. So yeah, with that said, let me explain a bit of why I'm dressed like this, right? Recently, I turned 26, and I've definitely been feeling like I had a bit of a quarter-life crisis, or mid-youth crisis, I've even heard, you know? So in that sense, I was really, really questioning myself, what does it mean to grow up? And what does it mean to dress a certain way? And this is, for me, kind of like a bit of an experiment, and I'm still a bit self-conscious of dressing the way that I'm dressing right now, for those of you watching the video. So, you know, it's kind of like, and yeah, for those just listening, I do have a bit of a vest and just a shirt and a tie. And it's just something that I'm trying out, seeing how it makes me feel. And yeah, we'll get into it. Okay. So the very first thing is I was feeling like I was starting to get older, because we all are, aren't we? You know, and in there, I had a couple of revelations, or a couple of series of events that led me towards trying this new way of portraying myself in the world, perhaps, right? As you can see, I also been growing a mustache. It's something that I've been trying, and it's been fun. It's been a whole journey. And with it, I decided that I wanted to research a bit more, or like look into like how clothes and how, you know, the way we dress makes us feel and makes us act in the world. And with that, I actually found this really interesting term that I wanted to share with you, which is a psychological concept. It's called enclothed cognition. And it just basically means that when your clothes, or rather, yeah, well, let me just say that again. So enclothed cognition is when your clothes have an effect on how you see yourself, right? And that is definitely the case for me. Since I started, not just, you know, right now I'm wearing something a bit more on the extreme of fancy, something that people just wouldn't wear day to day, right? Unless your work requires you to. Because I work from home, I make YouTube videos, I make online courses, I'm not required to dress in any particular way. But again, I just wanted to see what it feels like to dress this way. And with that, I definitely started to feel a bit different. I mean, first off, it's not as comfortable as my t-shirts that I've always worn for years, you know. But it does make me feel more like in work mode when I'm working. It does make me feel definitely more grown up in a way. And that has definitely made me think quite a lot, because growing up, I've always looked down on people that superficially try to show something that they aren't. And perhaps this is an opinion that a lot of you have, because I definitely been there, and I know what it feels like to look at someone perhaps in a suit and to actually seem, or to even think like, is that person trying to portray that they're better than the rest of us? And I felt that. I've thought that quite a lot. So I've been questioning that by myself quite a bit, but I still wanted to try it. And I developed a couple of like analogies that I want to share with you today about the way that we portray ourselves externally. But first, I also want to share a bit of what got me into this road of like what I consider now a bit of a hobby for like this type of clothes, for made to measure clothes and these kind of things. And thankfully, I live in a country, you know, I live in Ecuador, South America is a third world country. Certain things are way, way cheaper than they are on other countries. So managing to to get like that suit, in this first suit that I got. I'm not wearing the jacket, but it is a suit. And well, with that, it was way more accessible compared to what a research online certain things cost. So this was, I'm definitely not making misuse of my money, you know, at the moment, because I'm trying to be as responsible as I can with like just not wasting money just to try to show a certain status or something like that. Like, that's not what I want to do. So one of the things that actually helped me or gave me a bit of this push to jump into this world and trying to learn a bit more about clothes and how they make us feel was actually Jordan Peterson. I really admire Jordan for almost, well, pretty much everything he does and everything he represents is just incredible. But one of the things that actually caught my attention was a podcast episode, which I can link in the description so that you can watch it. There's like a clip in a podcast with Valuetainment, if I'm not wrong. And well, in that channel, they have a really cool discussion. They're all kind of wearing suits, and Jordan Peterson, especially a couple of years back, he kind of started dressing a bit fancier, you know, and I've always admired him. He's a bit of a role model for me, for sure. And I've had a lot of questions of what does it mean to be a man, especially in modern times where, you know, things like toxic masculinity is being thrown around and just like certain concepts to not make man feel proud of what we are, you know. Definitely don't want to get too political, but you get where you catch where I'm going. So either way, with that, I do want to share with you something that he said. And one of the concepts that he shared in that podcast was that for whatever reason, society has glorified teenage years, so teenagers, as a pinnacle, as like the top, as like the best thing that you can be. And because of that, you see, and I was definitely included in that, you know, and I still am trying to get away from that a little bit, but like what you see is a lot of grown-ups acting like teenagers or looking like teenagers, at least externally, you know. He describes these overgrown 10-year-olds, so like parents and, you know, just dads walking by their kids and they just dress the exact same. So yeah, in that podcast, he kind of makes fun of how adults look like overgrown kids, and he says there's nothing more appalling, nothing more appalling than an overgrown kid, you know, or a childish adult, you know, that kind of thing. And that made me think quite a lot, because now that I'm 26, you know, I was the other day somewhere on a website just filling in a form or something like that, and it didn't ask you for your exact age, but it did ask you for a range. So it was something like below 18, 18 to 25, 25 to 40. And I'm like, what? I'm in that category already? So that definitely made me stop and think for a bit and be like, am I entering a new category of age, a new category of like me forming part of society as someone that's I'm still a young adult, but I definitely feel like moving from 25 to 26 is a bit of a jump. And don't get me wrong, I know I'm still pretty young, and you know, I still don't know what it's like to turn 30, to turn 40, 50, 60, 70. Like, you know, a lot of you listening to this might have way more experience than I do and have had different feelings about this. So definitely share them in the comments. I'd love to hear, when did you feel like there was a bit of a jump for you? I mean, I'm sure I'm going to have other jumps in the future when I'm turning 30, 40, or just when general things happen in life, you know, things that change you, like becoming a parent and stuff like that. So anyhow, Jordan Peterson helped me realize like, okay, we are definitely in society glorifying being a teenager, looking like a teenager. And I was like, for one day, I just looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, yeah, I definitely feel and look like a teenager. And I do want to grow up, you know, I want to become a man and to feel like a man, like an adult. And, you know, I think internally or kind of like in my life, I've been taking the steps to do that. You know, I pay my own rent. I live with my girlfriend. You know, I make my own money. I am self-reliant. Is that the correct word? Yeah. So financially independent, right? Like those things have been huge jumps in my life and they've been really meaningful to me. And I want to feel more self-reliant. I want to feel more adult, you know? Especially as I was turning 26, which happened like a couple of weeks ago. And with that, I started my experiment of trying to get better clothes that look more mature, perhaps, right? And well, all types of changes spark out of that. You know, I had hair that was like 50 centimeters long. I don't know how much is that in inches, but you can just I'll say it. It was hair down to my nipple, okay? It was very long, and I had that for 5 years. And I liked it, but the very first thing that I decided, let's make a change, was I cut my hair, and I was really postponing that and not wanting to do that for a while. Because it kept me grounded in feeling young, let's say, right? The other thing that I did was when I turned 26, I removed my piercing. I had a piercing since I was 15. So now it's been 11 years, and I removed it on the day of my birthday. And I don't know if that will close up or not, but yeah. But anyway, that also got me thinking about, the Stoics and the ancient philosophers. What would they say about this? And I think there would be quite a bit of a debate, because I'm going to categorize being like a more, let's say, traditionally dressed, right? Being more traditionally dressed would fall under a category of preferred indifference. So I like it how in Stoicism you can divide things between preferred indifferences and dispreferred indifferences, right? So things that technically aren't needed for a virtuous life, for a good life. You don't need to dress well to be a good person, obviously. You know, that's self-evident, you know? But I still realize that there are certain things in life that are preferred, even though they're not essential for our virtue as humans, you know? And money is obviously one of those. Health is one of those, because we'd rather be healthy than unhealthy, than sick. We'd rather have enough money to be financially stable than to not have any money to eat, you know? So there's definitely things that, even though are not essential for our well-being as humans or for our virtue, you know, it's hard to describe the word virtue, but let's say for being a good person, they're not dependent. We don't need those things to be a good person, but they're better to have them than not to have them, you know? So yeah, that led me to think about what role do clothes play in this whole thing? And then I developed a bit of an analogy that I was working on. You know, I was showering, and you sometimes get the best ideas when you're showering, and I like this quite a lot, so I'm gonna share it with you right now. And it goes like this. There are two ways to build ourselves as people, right? And you can think of the inner self, you know, who you truly are, and the external self, how you look, obviously, and how you behave with others, you know, how you interact with the world. And I believe, depending on what philosophy you want to follow, what type of approach you want to follow in life, you can start from either one, and they're both going to be beneficial. So let me just compare two philosophies that I've thought about this for a while and want to share with you. I believe that Stoicism, Stoic philosophy, is a philosophy more concerned about becoming a good person from within. I think you change your beliefs, you change your thoughts, you change your behavioral patterns, and then that expands into how you behave in the world. So that's kind of working from the inside out, right? You start from the core, you develop yourself from the core, and that creates a domino effect into a lot of different areas in your life, right? But I also think there's philosophies that can start from outside and go into the inside, you know? And I've always prioritized on the ones that work on the inside. That's why Stoicism caught my attention years ago. That's why I really wanted to work on that. So the other philosophy, to give you another example, that works things from the external into the internal, is minimalism. You know, to me, minimalism is, and that's something that I really adopted for a couple of years as well. I still believe in it for sure, but minimalism is kind of like decluttering your external life, taking control and learning to value the things in your life that are valuable and letting go of those things that aren't. That kind of external way of dealing with your life from the outside into the inside also helped me, and I think it's really valuable, and I think to a lot of people, it's perhaps an easier transition into philosophy or discovering your value system, discovering your beliefs and modifying them. You know, the minimalists, the guys that make the documentaries, the podcasts, the YouTube videos, they are incredible for that. And I really admire them, because they really help people dig deeper into who they are through their environment. And, you know, like, it's kind of like, how do you say? It's, an entry point. That's it. So like when someone realizes like, hey, I have too much clutter in my life, I need to start decluttering, they might research like, okay, how to declutter, you know, because it's not that easy. It sounds simple, but you do need to have a bit of a mindset shift to be able to get rid of the things that have been cluttering for years, you know. So then you listen, then you start finding things like the minimalist, and then you start getting into this intentional living, and then you start discovering and reflecting on tons of values and, you know, self-development in general. So that to me is kind of like starting from the outside in, opposed to Stoicism and other philosophies, particularly ancient philosophies. They go from the inside out, and sometimes they're not really concerned at all with the at least external appearances. They are always concerned with how we behave with other people. Stoicism is how to be a good citizen of the world by working on yourself. And like I was saying, I always valued the internal work way more than the external. And recently I realized like, okay, the balance of both is important. And here's the analogy. The analogy is, what if you have, or like, you know, think of the Big Bang, right? Like the Big Bang created this huge explosion that became the origin of everything, and with it there was a lot of celestial bodies, you know, planets, stars, balls of fire rotating extremely fast in the middle of space. But until they cool off, well, they're fire, literal balls of fire, like our planet used to be a ball of fire, of magma, of lava, magma that's the correct term, I think. It's inhabitable. That's my point, right? And that is because there is a core. There is a core to the planet. You know, our planet, if we dig deep enough, it's really hot. It's inhabitable. If you only have this core, you are not habitable, okay? And the way that this relates to us as being people, like if you somehow manage to work on yourself, right? And you are an intelligent person, perhaps you haven't done the deeper work, right? But perhaps you are very smart, but you just don't want to interact with the world. You just want to stay in your room, and you believe perhaps that everyone sucks. You know, I've had friends, I had people that I've known that have been nihilist. You know, they say life sucks, everything sucks, everyone sucks, but they're extremely smart, and they worked on being smart. They read a lot. They have formed opinions, but they're not really habitable. You know, they're not really willing to merge or share an existence with these other planets. So they're a ball of fire in space that isn't willing to interact with other planets. That's my analogy of like, we're all planets, and in order to be habitable, we need to coexist with a larger universe, a larger galaxy. And that is like our neighborhoods, our communities, our society, right? So that inhabitable ball of fire of a planet that is just a ball of fire is obviously an analogy to being smart, being intelligent, kind of working on yourself from the inside, but never really letting that expand into the external, right? Now, the other side, right? So the other analogy, the other comparison to what it's like to only work on the external, and right now I'm talking about external regarding to physical appearance and the way you dress and the way that you portray yourself in society, that is like being a balloon, okay? So a balloon made of rubber has tons of air inside. You know, it can be big enough. And again, this is not comparing to the size of a planet. I'm just talking about a balloon. The analogy isn't perfect, so just bear with me, you know? But yeah, the comparison is like, if you are a person that is like a balloon, right? If you know someone, or you've seen someone that only seems to have worked on the surface, they only have clothes or nothing else, they don't have smart thoughts inside of them, then that's so easy to destroy. Someone takes a dab at their ego, someone just like has a personal attack on them, someone says a bad thing about them, and they collapse, they explode like the balloon. There's a needle in the balloon and it just all explodes, and there was no substance inside of it. There was no core, you know? So that is what happens when someone superficial doesn't work on themselves from the inside. And to me, honestly, anyone that dressed well at all, to me, was like that, was a balloon. But then I didn't realize that the best combination is to have both, to be a good person from the inside, to have work on yourself, but also have going back to the comparison of like a planet, right? The analogy of the planet. If it's a ball of fire, like our planet was, planet Earth, over time, over like literally millions of years, started to develop, you know, the soil that provided life and provided everything that is, you know, and from there came nature, and the land was fertile, and from it grew all types of beautiful things, and in it, life exists, you know? So I like to think of the combination of the internal work and the external work as a planet, right? The core is who you are, the magma, literally like the hot part of the earth, that is who you are on the inside, knowing yourself and understanding certain things about what makes you a good person. That is the core. But you also need the outer layer where the soil is, you know, where life is allowed to exist, where nature and beauty happens, you know? And that as a human is how you portray yourself to the world, and that is obviously hygiene, clothes, and all types of things, you know. So this is just kind of a bit of my reflection on why I think they're both important. Definitely clothes aren't the most important, and you know, like, I don't think it's worth spending more money that you have to in those things, unless it's a true passion of yours, I believe. And it's still not the most important, but it does mean something, and people do treat you different. And you treat yourself different when you dress a certain way. So that's kind of a bit of the reflection that I've had. And again, it's a bit more of a thought experiment for me, as in for now. I don't know how I'll move forward in the future, but I do know that there's definitely some truth to this concept that I told you about in clothed cognition, which is when your clothes have an effect on how you see yourself, right? And I think there's some value in that. I think there's something meaningful in there that I think needs to be considered. And I mostly wanted to share this because this topic is not something that would have came to mind to myself years ago. You know, I heavily changed. Like, my girlfriend told me the other day, like, hey, I didn't even think you would be willing to wear a suit on the day we marry in the future, if we marry, you know. You know, so, but yeah, that made me think, being like, okay, wow, I was so against those social standards of even dressing with a suit. I didn't have a suit, you know, like I had one when I was like 17, but it didn't really fit. And I used it like once for some important like event or occasion that I was forced to. But I didn't have a suit till now, and I just made this suit, and it's been really fun to wear. So that is my newfound philosophy regarding dressing up. And starting to look a bit more mature, stepping away from the teenage years, at least in the stage that I'm at in my life. And I hope this was some interesting reflections that might help you out and help you, you know, rethink about these things. So let me know, please, in the comments. Like, again, this is going to be posted on YouTube, so you can go to the YouTube comments. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know what has been your experience with these topics. And with that said, I hope to see you in the next episode. And thank you again for your time. Have a good day. Bye.